For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
Good morning, everyone. It's so wonderful to see so many of you. I can't see everyone, but I see, if I don't see your face, I see your name. I want to welcome you to the online Dharma Talk at Ancient Dragon today. I want to first address a couple of technical issues. You may see in the upper right-hand corner of your screen that it says either speaker view or gallery view. If it says it says the opposite of what it is. So if it says speaker view, that means you probably can see all of us together in little boxes like the Brady Bunch on your screen. And if it says gallery view, you're probably only seeing me. If it says gallery view, you will only be seeing the person who is speaking at that time. And that's okay. You may want to change that to the other one so that you can see everyone, especially during the Q&A. I think for right now during the talk, I have muted everyone's mic, and I think I might unmute people one by one for questions. So to ask a question when we get to the end, I think you can raise your hand or type something in the chat or find some other way of getting my attention. And hopefully we can have a wonderful discussion and talk. So I will begin. I don't really have a title for this talk. And I'll start by saying how strange it is to do an online Dharma talk. Can everyone hear me? Okay, great. I don't have to speak up for the people in the back. I guess every seat is a good seat or as good as it can be. I should introduce myself also. I'm Aishan Nancy Easton. And speaking to you today because I was really moved to speak and give a talk, especially right now. You know, it seems like what's jumping out at me right now is that everywhere we turn, there's Dharma. There's so much Dharma. And while that is always true, it's not always as easy to notice as it is right now. And maybe you all have been noticing this too, is that there are so many concepts and ways to practice that are jumping out at me, at least right now. It's hard almost to choose, you know, what to focus on, but I want to focus on a few things. And I'll try to keep my talk brief so that we can have a good conversation. What I want to start with is talking about change, you know, which is really the hallmark of what Buddha taught, which is that everything changes. And normally we recognize this. We recognize this in small ways. Maybe we have to look for it a little bit. In a lot of ways, our lives feel like they're very, very continuous, and we don't always notice the ways in which maybe we're aging or, you know, things around us are changing. But I think that probably for all of you, we've all really noticed a lot of dramatic changes in our lives, whether it was moving from, you know, working someplace to working at home or not working at all, or having to find new ways of doing the work that we normally do, to just the global scale of this. It's very easy to see change. And especially, I think it's been very, very easy to see our interconnectedness in ways that we normally understand, but maybe a little bit more abstractly. You know, it's not just the spread of the virus, which of course shows you how interconnected we are in ways we didn't even, you know, you can see it very, very visibly, but also in the sense of, you know, dependent co-origination or dependent co-arising, or the Sanskrit word is pratitya samutpada, the ways in which, you know, like illness and this virus and people's health connects directly with our economy. Things that you don't normally think of as being related, we now can see are very related. And all of this change and this sudden awareness of how, you know, one person's actions can so drastically impact everyone, not even everyone around them, but really everyone. This is literally the time of the, you know, butterfly flapping its wings in the tropics, and suddenly there's a, you know, monsoon someplace else, or a tsunami. This kind of drastic change can lead to a lot of discomfort on the part of everyone, of fear and suffering, as we experience things like, maybe, as I've heard from some people in my friends and family this week, job loss. People can be experiencing homelessness. There can be an increase in crime because people don't have, you know, the resources that they need. That can be, you know, an increase in incarceration, and the changes that leads, the very direct changes that will have on people's lives and their health, but also on a smaller scale, those feelings of despair that people can start to experience in this very extreme situation can lead to maybe responding with taking up addictive behaviors that someone has maybe been able to put aside as their go-to coping mechanism. But under this stressful situation, people, you know, are maybe turning back to addictions that are really not good for them. People can be experiencing so much despair that they are starting to experience, you know, urges to harm themselves or take their life. And, you know, we hear about this in the news, and we may be experiencing this within, you know, our close friends and family. And it leads me to ask the question of, you know, do we contract? Do we try to, you know, just shore up ourselves and contract into, you know, denial of what's happening, or resistance to what's happening, or, you know, despair or fear, or even just a feeling of, you know, being so overwhelmed that we can just feel helpless? Or, you know, can we respond in a more adaptive way into, you know, so that we are able to open into acceptance, you know, kind of embrace this time of uncertainty and embrace the change? And so I want to highlight a little bit of my thoughts, some of my thoughts about how practice can really help us with that. You know, starting with just our basic awareness of our interconnectedness, which can help us to reach out and help each other. It leads to those more, you know, the impulse to sort of reach out and help someone. I know that we really are maybe also recognizing how much we need the help of other people around us, or other people indirectly. You know, we obviously need each other to help to refrain from spreading the virus. We need to, as we all are right now, you know, staying home, staying in place. We will need help to recover if we become ill. I'm very, very aware that if I lose my job, I will need financial assistance from somewhere, you know, and so I think that's helped me to recognize that if that's true for me, then that's true for everyone. And I think we're starting to see, and hopefully this will continue, more of a, you know, governmental or a more widespread response to helping those around us, whether it's with food issues, food security issues, or homelessness, or financial assistance. We also are really, really dependent in ways that I just never noticed, and maybe you're the same way. We're so dependent on just the global supply chain so that we can get needed supplies in the grocery stores. Every time I go to the grocery store, I'm just so struck by what's missing. There's always something that they just don't have, you know, that I have taken completely for granted up until now. You know, I couldn't get flour. I mean, I buy flour like once every 5 years, but you can't find it now. I'm just very aware of how much help I need from others in order to survive in ways that I wasn't before, because it's probably because it's threatened. But also, so our interconnectedness demonstrates the ways in which we need help from others. But I think it also can give us some ideas for how we can help others. And I think as practitioners of Zen, we really have a lot of experience with this, actually. Even if you've only sat one period of Zazen in your life, you have already practiced patience, which I think is going to be key here. And you've practiced some amount of restraint, you know, whether that's restraining from, some kind of harmful action. And if we've done something more, maybe an all-day sitting or, you know, even multiple retreats, our experiences have taught us how to do things like harmonize our actions with others so that we can put aside our understandable need for something for ourselves to harmonize with others so that we can act in ways that benefit, you know, not just ourselves. It's our retreat experience, I think, has taught us how to be flexible in response to the need for change. You know, when our schedules are changing and we're just, you know, you kind of have to go with the flow. But I think we've also learned how to, you know, maintain our upright posture and our composure in the midst of a lot of strong emotions, you know, like fear, confusion, anger, grief that are coming up right now. I think practice can help with all of these things. And it can, and our practice, I think, has helped us endure some of the discomfort that I think everyone's having a hard time with right now. And what I think is key in all of this is the ways that we are able to practice patience in particular, you know, the paramita of kshanti, or, you know, tolerance or forbearance. I think that, well, you know, the only way to practice patience is by practicing patience, but I think it's really helped us to, you know, it can help us to be open and flexible and ready to respond to what the world has in store for us. You know, we can't always take direct action on something, and sometimes we can, and that's great, but I think patience can really allow us to wait, to study situations as they present themselves before us, to see other options, maybe, and hopefully to find ways to respond more skillfully. So there are some particular ways that I think that we can help others right now. Obviously, you know, by finding and making available and offering resources like food or medicine or hygiene products or, you know, those sort of practical things that people are needing, you know, going to the grocery store for someone who is more vulnerable, just inquiring after each other's well-being. There are those ways, but I think also there are some key ways that as Zen practitioners we can help, which are, you know, recognizing that taking care of ourselves does actually help take care of others. That self and others are not separate, and especially not in this situation. You know, helping others, we can help others to develop their own capacity for patience or forbearance or calm just by bringing our calm presence and our ability to open up to other people's concerns and to listen and offer some calm and forbearance of our own, I think will help other people to develop that within themselves. I think we can help others to respond to change and to be flexible. I've been hearing from people who are saying, you know, I'm going stir crazy in my house. I just can't take this. And I think we all have felt that at different times in our life and in our practice. And I think that that's something that we can offer to others is, you know, just a little bit of support in how they can do that for themselves. And I guess lastly, there's a lot that we can't control right now. And we certainly can't control it in others' lives either. But I think one thing we can do is to help those around us not make a bad situation worse. So, you know, I think Buddha talks about, or not Buddha, but I think, you know, in the 2,500 years since, a lot of us have talked about how the difference between pain and suffering. So there's pain, you know, that we are experiencing. There's discomfort that we are experiencing. And then there's the suffering that we experience as we sort of flail around and try to do something about that, but actually it makes it worse, you know. So as we help people to accept and calm down and, you know, take this seriously, but not freak out. That's, you know, there's such a fine line, I think, for many people between taking something seriously and saying, oh, you know, this is a big deal, I'm going to, and just completely freaking out. I think that that is the line that I think that we can help people, you know, start to adhere to. So I also want to highlight that there is practical help available through Ancient Dragon. A number of people have expressed an interest in being available if someone needs something. So if there's someone who needs someone to, you know, bring them groceries or bring them food or something, that we do have people who are available to help. We have our teacher Tigan and other practice leaders who are available for practice discussion. This is a great time to talk about, you know, how can I help someone in my life, you know, who's really suffering to cope with this situation or for ourselves. And we also have someone who is offering just some pastoral care and outreach. So all of those resources are available by just sending an email to info@ancientdragon.org. We have a network of bodhisattvas who can mobilize and, you know, come up from under your floorboards if necessary to assist. So I think that's maybe all I want to say. I would like us to start a conversation. I'm not sure if we are, I guess we'll, why don't we do some Q&A, and maybe, I know that we're going to be having some chanting and Dylan will be doing a well-being dedication after this talk, but maybe why don't we do some Q&A first. So, okay, Dylan's okay with that. Thank you. So I want to throw out a question, and this is really a time for all of us to get together and talk about whatever's on our minds, but I especially want to just throw out a potential topic for us, which are, you know, as you think about yourself and your life, I'm wondering what gifts your practice may have given you to cope with this situation or to help others. I think that could be something that I certainly could benefit from learning from. So if you raise your hand, I'll unmute you, or if you send a question through the chat box, I will unmute you when it's your turn. Okay. Nyo-san, I see your hand first. And here we go.
Yes, this is actually more of a technical question that may be certainly be helpful for myself and may be helpful as with for others going out. And that is that I've been receiving various text messages during this. I am on a phone, and I don't know how to access the text box. Can anybody help with that just to facilitate this?
Hi, Nielsen. So I think you want to, so there's a panel in the bottom of the screen where it has like mute, start video. And in one of that, there's a chat box. If you click on it, you can see the messages.
I don't have that.
I'm not sure how you do it on a phone.
Okay, I'll step out. I'll try and figure it out later. But for those who text me, I apologize that I've not responded.
Have you been getting text messages during this call?
A couple during the lead up to the call and okay. Then one during the call.
Oh, okay. Yes, I see them now. Okay, so the first one was from Wade asking if there were any issues connecting. I said, just so everyone knows, I've muted everyone's mic during the talk. And then there are just some hellos.
Thank you.
Okay. So any thoughts? Tygan, I'm going to unmute you.
Well, I'm sending a text message to Eric to Newsom right now. And on my phone, it's just, I don't know if this is relevant for you, Newsom, but there is an app that may not be on your phone, but if you, it says messages and there's a circle. And if you just push on that, you might see my message. I don't know if that's relevant. The other people here have much more technical knowledge than me, but that's how I get my text messages. So
Cindy has a hand up. Okay. I've unmuted you, Cindy.
Hi. In terms of your question, how has your practice helped you, you know, in this situation? That was your question, right? Earlier. What I was thinking is for myself, so I'm a therapist and I'm seeing my clients online through Zoom. And about a fifth of my clients are therapists themselves.
Cindy, there's a
and
your audio is coming through very, very poorly. I can kind of hear you, that you're saying that you're a therapist who's seeing clients on Zoom.
Units and hospitals. And I had a certain amount of, I'm not normally an anxious person, but I had suddenly a tremendous amount of anxiety when I started thinking about. And also not a very techy person. So when I started thinking about doing this on Zoom and also what might be going on for my clients and for my clients who are in hospitals, nurse, and one's a
Cindy, we can't really hear you. Would it be possible to type out your question?
I'm not sure what to do to improve my audio, but maybe I should just stop and just say I'm just very grateful, and I realize I will just take this one moment at a time.
I hear you that you are grateful. I got that part. Do you have access to the chat box? Also, you could turn off your camera. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay. Thank you. So Cindy has said that it's okay to move on to someone with better audio. Cindy, please know that we're totally available to talk about anything if you want to email us later through the info line. I'd be happy to talk. Someone else. Okay, David, I'm going to unmute you. Thanks, Cindy.
Hi. Hi, everyone. And thank you. Thank you so much, Aishin, for this. So I've been thinking about something like the difference between isolation and solitude, I guess. I'm here by myself, and my wife and I are ending our 22-year marriage, and that's connected with a long journey for me around my sexuality. And when I tell people the externals of what's going on in my life, I sometimes get expressions of, you know, sympathy and concern. Oh, my God, how are you doing? You must be miserable, and so on. This feels like a time of monastic solitude for me, and it really reconnects with times in my life that I've had spiritual retreats. I'm so grateful for the practices that I have. I'm going to be teaching my classes online, and I'm looking forward to that. And I'm also thinking about ways that I can be of support to the first year undergraduates that I'm going to be connecting with. Yeah, it's that. I mean, I think of the very first time that I was away from Kristen for a long time. I was teaching in Italy, and I remember how miserable I was and how abandoned I felt and how afraid I was. And it's strange and remarkable. I feel a lot of joy and gratitude. I don't feel it all the time. I feel fear when I look at the news. I feel fear when I go outside and touch the metal surface of a trash can with a paper towel. And yet at the same time, I'm amazed at how much control my mind turns out to have over how the story I tell myself about the situation that the world is in. I read an amazing piece yesterday, this sort of imagining of a future after the coronavirus and the ways that our world might be made better. So that's what I'm sitting with this morning. Also, this topic of dependent co-origination. I'm going to be teaching Basho next week, and so I'm all about this concept, and I know very little about it, and it amazes me that the synchronicity that you mentioned it. So that's what I've got.
Thank you. You know, David, there was a lot in the middle that I couldn't hear. I think I lost my connection.
Oh.
But maybe others have something to comment on, others who were able to hear.
Sorry.
No, I think this is happening to all of us. I think that one was me. Other thoughts that people have to add to what David said that I couldn't hear? Bo, I'm going to unmute you.
Well, I relate to, in terms of what David said, kind of the range of emotions you go through every day. You know, there is joy, there's kind of sometimes panic and fear, and there's a sense of connectedness to everything, and then there's a feeling of isolation and sometimes being alone. And I think the practice helps me to sort of know that each of those feelings is kind of arising and ceasing, you know, that's kind of the nature of.
Uh-oh. I cannot hear Ben. Can others? He's cut out. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But I think the gist of it is that things are coming up. They're changing. We can certainly, joyful feelings can be present with us in this time and can change into more discomfort. But if we are able to sort of be patient with that, you know, joy can reemerge. Bo?
Yeah.
We didn't get to hear the end of what you were going to say.
That was the best part, too. Sorry. Rises and falls. That was kind of the gist.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. I'm glad I could share.
Tygen.
Hi, everyone. I just want to say that this is such a weird, strange process we're doing. I see faces with boxes and see names. And anyway, so I think we're going to have to adjust to how we deal with being community and Sangha and mutual support in this format, it's just, for me, it's very strange, and probably for everyone, I don't know. But I just, to respond to some of what David was saying, the difference between isolation and solitude, in some ways, you know, so I'm totally, I haven't been out in almost 2 weeks out of the house. I guess I should go out for walks, but I'm sort of in the at-risk category. But I've gone out to take out the garbage and stuff, somehow sheltering in place, sheltering at home, you know, to me, there's this quality that David was talking about of seclusion or retreat. You know, we can check out the news, hopefully not 24/7, but just to see what's going on around us. I'm thinking about how can we help people who are really, you know, I'm thinking a lot about the hospital workers and the nurses and the doctors who are totally at risk, and other Dharma teachers have sent me things about maybe how we could help. But anyway, I just want to say there's this quality of turning the light within that we talk about in Zazen that happens when we just are sheltered in place. And there's a kind of way in which this can, you know, and David was sort of pointing to that, I think, that there's something that else that can open up. So I'm not sure I have much more to say, but that being home alone or with family or whatever is this very different reality. And we don't know how long this is going to go on. It might go on for quite a long time. We just don't know. But yet we have the resources from our practice, I think, as you were saying, Ishan, that can support us to be settled as we settle in place. And anyway, having this strange Zoom vehicle to share that with is interesting. So maybe that's all I have to say. But maybe other people have comments or responses to David or anything that anybody said.
Wade, hello.
Hello. Going off what Tigan said, the self-isolation reminds me a lot of Zazen, where in Zazen we're all, in a sense, we're alone because we're just there with our own thoughts, having to face ourselves by ourselves, but we're doing it together in a community. We're alone together, and that's exactly what we're doing right now, is each of us are alone, but we're alone together in a community. I think it's fantastic. Like, looking at this screen, this grid of all of you is just making me so happy. I think it's fantastic. But it's, the self-isolation is a lot like Zazen in that regard, where we're each being as alone as we can be, but we're doing it for each other. We're doing it together.
Yeah, very tangibly for each other and together. You know, I'll tell you, I joined in on the online Zazen and Dharma talk through San Francisco Zen Center earlier this week, and I was really amazed. I did Zazen with, you know, I was facing the wall, the camera was facing me, presumably facing the wall, and there were, you know, like 100 other people on these little squares on the camera, and everybody's doing Zazen, and it felt so different from just doing Zazen by myself, you know, here in my Zendo by myself. It just was so strange, you know? And so there's a way in which I think this is a very, very strange way for us to connect. And it's a very, very imperfect way for us to connect, but here we are, you know, and we are able to connect. And I'm very thankful for that. It's very, very noticeable. And I know that there will be a board meeting this afternoon at which we will be talking about what our practice offerings are going to be for coming up. We've really had to cancel the practice commitment period, but I think we will be able to do some online scheduled Zazen, and there will be talks on Sunday morning, and I think you probably already know about the archive talks, but I'm looking forward to seeing you know, how the Dharma can flourish in this medium. I think we've already experienced this morning just, you know, the technical difficulties that we experience, and maybe as we are, you know, now that we're a little bit more aware of what those are, maybe we will be able to find some ways to work around that, or to work in different media, as we all are in, you know, our other maybe work lives or home lives, so that we really can stay connected during this time. I think we have maybe time for one more comment, and then we'll have to sort of start to close. But I see your hands, Belinda, so I'm going to unmute you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I also wanted to just maybe suggest that we use this as an opportunity, this way of connecting as an opportunity as well. As you have experienced yourself, Ishan, you were able to join San Francisco's session from afar. And I've been joining a couple of other Dharma groups. One is held in Florida, and I was able to dial in and sit with everyone and listen to Dharma talk. And the group I co-facilitate myself, we've had people, we are also online now, and we've had people joining from California, Champaign, just who, some people who would never be able to come physically. And this, I think this is a new form of connectedness that we could see as an opportunity. I've also had clients who are in higher education. They're also using this as an opportunity where all the classes are now online. That pushes them to explore this as a way to increase access and just maybe come up with a new business model altogether in the future. Also, I kind of find that seeing each other's houses, I assume everyone's in their homes, adds another level of intimacy to this connection also. You know, my cat has certainly joined a lot of my meetings, for example. it's different. I think I just see it as different, not necessarily imperfect. Or nothing is perfect. you do the most with it.
Yeah, I like that thought. Let's make the most of what we have available to us. And I think I would love to hear in the future people's thoughts about how we can do that. Feel free to send me an email personally if you know my email address, or send one through info@ancientdragon, and I or the appropriate other person will respond to you. So thank you all for being here.